Nothing is more important than getting a good night's sleep, and when you don't get the rest you need, your whole day is thrown off. That's why it's so important to choose the right mattress. Sleeping on a Purple mattress is truly a unique experience, because Purple mattresses are made with a GelFlex grid. The GelFlex grid is an innovative material that moves with your body to relieve pressure in areas like knees and hips, and support in others, like your back. It feels soft where you want it and supports where you need it. Purple mattresses instantly adapt when you move. You don't sink in and get stuck like with memory foam. And thanks to over 1,400 air chambers in the GelFlex grid, you will sleep cooler on a Purple mattress. Purple has a wide variety of mattresses, from the original Purple mattress to the Restore Hybrid Collection that combines GelFlex grid with coils, and the Rejuvenate Luxe Collection, the height of luxury, with over 112,000 five-star reviews to prove it. Visit purple.com to find the perfect Purple for you and enter code PODCAST10 to get 10% off.
Recovery from addiction can take many forms, and quite often, it's a team effort. For those in recovery, having support often leads to a better outcome. And for those supporting people in recovery, they celebrate every milestone. Here's to family, friends, loved ones, healthcare providers, and community groups who are essential to helping people find their path to recovery. If you or someone you know is experiencing addiction, visit cdc.gov/stopoverdose to learn more about the various treatment options available.
My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get a $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be.
Kevin's Take, the good, the bad, and the ugly from yesterday's Washington Commanders game.
Let's go! Let's go!
Here's Kevin.
Back out of Daniels with the keep and his first touchdown in the National Football League. Jaden Daniels runs it in from 2 yards out for the touchdown.
All right, my game take is what I liked from the game, what I didn't like, and several other observations from the week one 37-20 loss to Tampa. So, look, Daniels' first NFL game wasn't that bad, really. In fact, it was a bit similar to some of his games at LSU last year, where the only chance his team had was for him to do his best by strapping the team to his back because their defense was so god-awful. LSU's defense last year, we talked about it all off-season, was one of the worst in the country. Jaden had to be Superman for his team to even have a chance in most of those games. And yesterday, he must have looked out there and had some eerie flashbacks to a year ago. Let's get started with the things that I liked. And I'm going to start with Daniels. Daniels, after his first game, is on the list of things that I liked. You know, it could have been better, for sure, but we are searching for breadcrumbs after a day like yesterday. So let's say some nice things about the rookie quarterback in his first NFL game. So the first thing, of course, is his ability to make a nothing play or a potential bad play into a good play because of his legs. You know, he's so poised. He's so calm. There's nothing about yesterday that seemed to have him rattled. He seemed totally up for the day. Yeah, there was that first throw. We'll get to that. But he's a bit of a cheat code because of his ability to create off schedule with not just his speed, but there's quickness, there's vision, there's an innate, you know, kind of innate feel to get away from defenders. You know, he is elite at that. He was in college, and in his very first NFL game, he proved to be an elite, ground yardage gainer as a scrambler and in other ways as well. He ran early. He ran often. I'm sure the tape's going to show that he did not have to run as much as he did. I thought he went a bit too early on a couple of occasions. Ertz in particular looked like a primary read, at least on one play, if not two. And Jaden, for whatever reason, didn't get to him and instead, you know, took off, went off schedule, I thought, too quickly. His start was rough. That swing pass to Robinson Jr. was inaccurate, went backwards, which derailed the opening drive completely. He was lucky the ball got out of bounds and wasn't recovered by Tampa. It could have been even more disastrous. But the fun started on his second drive. You know, he scrambled twice on that drive for 26 yards. Unfortunately, I think that third and three before the field goal attempt, I think, you know, Zacchaeus actually was open enough, and it was not a great throw, so they had to kick a field goal. He scrambled for another 28 yards on the third drive. By the way, they only had the ball three times in the first half. They could have had it a fourth time, actually. We'll get to that when we talk about some of the clock handling at the end of the first half on the list of things I did not like. But, you know, on the three drives in the first half, they drove it on two of them. They missed a field goal. They scored a touchdown on the other. He rushed 16 times in total in the game. That's a lot. My preference, honestly, would have been that he wasn't in the game at the end taking hits. I know we want them to compete until the end, and that's the kind of kid he is, but that game was 37-14, and he was still out there running zone read keepers and getting hit and having his helmet knocked off. By the way, can we get a helmet tightened a little bit for him so it doesn't get knocked off so easily? It actually cost him a touchdown on the helmet getting knocked off at the end because the play was ruled dead once that happened, and he had not yet crossed the goal line, which he did after the helmet came off. I want him competing his ass off when he's out there, even until the end, and I want him to want to be out there, but I'm not sure he needed to be out there, and that's the coach's job to pull him from a game like that. You know, it's one thing if you're going to stay in the game and hand the ball off and throw it a little bit, but he was still out there running and taking some hits that I think are just unnecessary for him in his first game where your team's getting clobbered. I thought overall he had some excellent throws, some quick release throws to Ertz, some check down throws to Robinson and Eckler. Maybe some of them were in progression and not necessarily check downs, but early progression throws. I thought there were a couple of times, as I mentioned, that he bailed too quickly. The sack where he fumbled and Biotis recovered, I thought there was a chance to hit Ertz before he got hit. You know, this is where some of those advanced people will tell you pressure to sack percentage, you know, that ball should have been out. And I think they'd probably be right about that. He missed the deep ball to Terry. That would have kept them in the ball game. That's 16-14, you know, on the first play of the third quarter. And look, he was one of the best deep ball throwers in the country last year. I promise you, he is going to make a lot of those throws. It's too bad he didn't make that one because Terry was open and it was six if he hits him in stride, and he certainly had time to do it. He scrambled a bunch. He ran it on read option plays. He ran it on designed runs, including a quarterback draw, including a naked boot for a first down on a play that actually looked like it was going to be called back. But Trent Scott actually did report as eligible on that play, and Dan Quinn made a big stink of it on the sideline, which forced the referees to huddle back up, and they talked about it, and Trent Scott actually did a report, so he wasn't eligible there. He ran a lot, he took some shots, but for the most part, I thought he did a very effective job of getting down, albeit by not sliding. By the way, he did slide in college, trust me. But he's more comfortable doing it the way he did it yesterday, kind of more falling forward and going down. And you know what? I actually kind of like that better. I think it avoids that big hit to the head where you're on your back when you go into a slide and you're perhaps a little bit more exposed. Overall, you know, 16 rushes for 88 yards on the ground, the most ever for a quarterback on opening day. There were a bunch of stats there yesterday about quarterbacks and rushing on opening day, and he was up there, if not at the top, of quarterback rushing statistics for a first game. He was 17 of 24 for 184 yards passing. No touchdowns, no picks. Much of the passing yardage, really, to be fair, came on the final two drives. You know, I think 80 plus of the yards came on the final two drives when they were, getting their ass kicked and they were facing soft coverage and they were facing some reserve players. But overall, I mean, I don't know how you couldn't watch, this guy in his very first game and come away encouraged. He is going to be an elite playmaking off-schedule quarterback. You know, you'll see, too, as he gets more comfortable and maybe as they play some teams that aren't a little bit more prepared than Washington was, I think. I don't know, and I have not watched the All-22, and I'll have more on this tomorrow, sort of upon further review. But I don't know that people were open all day. I don't know that there was a lot of separation all day. I don't want to go back to this, but I mean, those of you that said they don't need Brandon Ayuk, you had to be smoking something or gummying it up to not think that they needed another big-time receiver this year. But if your take was, we don't need him now because we're not going to be very good now, and, we can get that in the draft later, and I don't want to spend the money, or I don't like his personality or whatever, that's fine. All of that's reasonable. But I think that, some of the things that we talked about over the summer in terms of the need for another playmaker or two at wide receiver, I think that's one of those things we will start to realize. Again, just one game. And maybe De'Ami Brown and Luke McCaffrey and Noah Brown, who was inactive, will be good supporting receivers for Terry McLaurin. But overall, I'd give Jaden Daniels in his first game a solid B grade. I mean, I mean, it's mesmerizing to watch him work off schedule and to just, there's a style to it that he has also. And again, if you watched him in college, this was not a surprise. His running ability and his ability to make people miss and his ability to basically, kind of smile at anybody trying to run him down. That's going to be a part of what they're going to need all year, especially if their supporting players offensively at the skill spots aren't good enough, beyond, say, Terry McLaurin. Also on the things that I liked list. So I said as my bold prediction before the year started that I thought Brian Robinson Jr. was going to rush for 1,200 plus yards. He was going to have 50 plus catches. He was going to have double digit plus touchdowns, and he was going to be in the Pro Bowl. Certainly the statistics from week one would not have him heading in that direction. But I like Brian Robinson Jr., man. There wasn't a lot of running room in the first half. A little bit more in the second. 12 carries, 40 yards is nothing to write home about. Clearly, 3.3 yards per carry. He had three catches for 49, including that big one, that 32-yarder in the first half. I just think Brian Robinson Jr. is a player, and I think he's a versatile player. We know that. After watching him last year, that he can also catch the football. A lot of the empty set stuff, he was out as a wide receiver. I also thought that Austin Ekeler looked really good in his first game in Washington. Four catches, 52 yards, some of it coming at the end. Two carries, 10 yards. But Ekeler looked like Austin Ekeler with the ball in his hands, making people miss. He's a very... he has that kind of slight wiggle, that slight shoulder turn. He's really able to make people miss in tight spaces. I thought Ekeler was really solid yesterday. I think Zach Ertz is going to be a big part of their production on offense, when they're in competitive games, when they get a chance to get the ball more than three times in a half. And I thought he was solid out there. Luke McCaffrey, you know, made a nice catch there at the goal line on the final drive, almost got it in. You know, looking for a couple of the players that stood out. Here's something, and it's going to be kind of in contradiction with my overall top takeaway, which was the defense was truly horrible yesterday. But let me just give you one little nugget about the defense yesterday. The defense on first down, especially in the first half, and really only in the first half, it was pretty effective. Listen to this. So the Bucs obviously torched Washington yesterday overall, but almost all of it came on second and third down, primarily in the first half, not on first down. It's really amazing when you consider the following. The Bucs had second down situations that went like this 9 times. They had a second and 11. They had a second and 12. They had a second and 14. They had a second and 12. They had a second and 13. They had a second and 10. They had a second and 10. They had a second and 13. They had a second and 14. Washington had Tampa 9 different times in second and 10 or longer. That tells you just how bad they were on second and third down. But they were in so many advantageous positions after first down in that game, you know, and it's just, you know, it means by extension they did pretty well on first down. They had 6 tackles for loss on first down. You'd take that most days. They had another 4 plays of 0 yards on first down, so 10 total plays of 0 or negative yardage. I thought Daron Payne, I know I'm a big fan of Daron Payne, but I thought he was disruptive on several of those plays, allowing guys behind him to make some plays. I'll be interested to see if anybody defensively grades out well, you know, with some of the advanced groups. They were in the backfield a bunch, you know, on first down. Wagner himself had 3 TFLs, tackles for loss, to lead the team. Jamin Davis had a really good tackle for a loss as well. Look, it's hard to find things defensively that were even remotely encouraging about the game, but that would be the one thing. You know, that would be the one thing to kind of focus on the, hey, if we can, on 9 different occasions during a football game, have the team that we're playing in second and 10 or longer, we should be able to get off the field a lot more than we did yesterday. Again, and it wasn't necessarily Tampa's own undoing. It wasn't, you know, penalty driven. There were, again, 6 tackles for loss in the game and 4 other plays of 0 yards, all on first down. And again, you take it a step further, it just shows you how horrific they were on second and third down in the game, third down in particular. On the list of things that I liked, hey, they didn't turn the ball over. You know, you could say that. Jaden really didn't come close, right? I don't think. He had that fumble, which Biotis recovered. You know, technically he had 3 fumbles, none of them recovered by the defense, but one of them was a fumble as he was going out of bounds on a scramble, you know, where the ball just came out of his hands, but he was out of bounds. And the other one was the backwards pass to Brian Robinson on the first play of the game. That was counted as a fumble. The one legit fumble was him getting hit, fumbling, on a play. Again, let me be clear, I thought he had Ertz. I thought he could have unloaded the ball. And there were some really good quick release throws. You know, he hit Eckler over the middle on a, you can see, I mean, he processes quickly, the ball gets out quickly. But in his first game, there were a couple of times where I thought he took off too early. And I thought on that case, when he got sacked on that play, really thought legitimately there was an opportunity to get rid of the ball. Tressaway, you know, punted. Look, the offense moved it enough where it wasn't like they were three and out a lot. They weren't punting a lot. He had three punts, averaged 46.3 yards per punt. I thought he did a good job. It just seems like we will always have Tressaway on the list of things that we like, although last year fewer times than in recent years. But that does it, really, for the list of things that were positives for me. A few players on offense, certainly Jaden, and I'd give him a solid B for his first game. First down defense, especially in the first half, on a day in which the defense was truly god-awful bad. No turnovers, you know. They didn't get any. We'll talk about that on the list of things we didn't like. And the punter. When we come back, the list of things that I did not like from the game, that list is longer, and a few other observations as well. And then we'll take calls from you guys starting at 11 a.m., 301-230-0980, 301-230-0980. I am sure some of you are wound up this morning, and I'm going to give you plenty of time next hour to weigh in. Ben Standig will join us on the show at noon. We will go around the NFL as well. This previous segment and the next one on the show are presented by T-Mobile. All of our coverage today presented by T-Mobile. Switch to T-Mobile and you can get tons of benefits and still save on every plan versus AT&T and Verizon. Use their savings calculator to find out how at T-Mobile.com/switch.
Why does this room look amazing? What'd you change?
Oh, I just got these custom shades from Blinds.com. It's all online, so it's really easy. Great price, too.
Ugh, I remember shopping for Blinds. I waited around all day just to get a quote.
Hi, sorry I'm late. I know you said just the bedroom, but what do you feel about the
bathroom?
I feel
like I had to say yes, just to get rid of her.
All right, just go ahead and sign here and we'll get everything taken care of.
It took forever, and the worst part, hidden fees. How about you?
I chatted with my Blinds.com design consultant on my time, got free samples, and it was all super high quality at a great price. Plus, they make it easy to DIY or add installation like I did.
Blinds.com sounds way better.
Way better. And everything comes with their 100% satisfaction guarantee. Plus, check this out. I can control them from my phone.
Whoa, magic.
There's a better way. Shop Blinds.com for up to 45% off. Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions may apply.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in-store or at mybobs.com to play now.
Nothing is more important than getting a good night's sleep, and when you don't get the rest you need, your whole day is thrown off. That's why it's so important to choose the right mattress. Sleeping on a Purple mattress is truly a unique experience because Purple mattresses are made with a Gel Flex Grid. The Gel Flex Grid is an innovative material that moves with your body to relieve pressure in areas like knees and hips and support in others like your back. It feels soft where you want it and supports where you need it. Purple mattresses instantly adapt when you move. You don't sink in and get stuck like with memory foam. And thanks to over 1,400 air chambers in the Gel Flex Grid, you will sleep cooler on a Purple mattress. Purple has a wide variety of mattresses, from the original Purple mattress to the Restore Hybrid Collection that combines Gel Flex Grid with coils, and the Rejuvenate Luxe Collection, the height of luxury, with over 112,000 five-star reviews to prove it. Visit purple.com to find the perfect purple for you and enter code PODCAST10 to get 10% off.
In life, some days are good, and some could be better. The same is true for recovery. Both take work. Both take adjustments. Finding your path is a key part of your journey, and then it's all about walking it every day. Embrace the good days, the not so good days, and the challenges, and acknowledge how you overcame them. Be open to every part of the journey and welcome it. It's unique, and it's all part of you. Find the path to recovery that works for you. Learn more at cdc.gov/stopoverdose.
My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get a $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be, to be.
So you missed two field goals.
Yes. Yep.
We expect to see another kicker again?
You know, I think we'll have a good talk about that, see where we're at. Let's look into what next week looks like, Chick, and go from there. I think what I have seen is talent, you know, to make sure this guy's got an incredibly strong leg. That's why, you know, the decision to go for the one, I think, at the 37, it felt good from the distance standpoint, and I thought we needed to give ourselves a spark. And so when those go the other way, kind of like we were talking about, like going for a two-point or not, and you miss them, it kind of goes. But I thought, yeah, the kick out of bounds, you know, and the misses, it just, man, like I said, there's a lot of lessons from tonight, and Adam and I have not discussed that at all, and so we'll get into that as we get into the week. But yeah, it was all part of it. You know, like there wasn't one phase that you have to really play at your best, and so tonight, missing those chances, that hurt.
Cade York, the kicker he was talking about. We've had the kicker question all throughout the summer, all throughout preseason, and in the opener, it reared its ugly head. He's on the list of things that I did not like. I'm continuing with my game take. By the way, I did not have a problem with the decision to kick a 56-yard field goal there. He's got that kind of a leg. You know, it's 16-7. You move the ball pretty well on that opening drive after missing Terry on that big first down shot on the first play of the third quarter. And, you know, I thought they did a nice job of actually creating the opportunity with the screen to McCaffrey to get into the range on third and 18 to give him a shot. Look, I mean, you could have punted it. You could have gone for a fourth and 10. But I didn't have a problem with that decision. All right, let's continue with the game take. Things that I liked, I just went through. Jaden Daniels, gave him a B grade. Thought he was solid, very solid in his first game. I thought Robinson Jr., Eckler in particular, I think that's going to be a good situation. I think it's going to be a good situation for Jaden this year. I thought Ertz showed up a little bit. As bad as the defense was, on first down, the defense was actually pretty effective. They basically allowed like 3.7 yards on first down, but there were 9 different occasions where the Bucs had second and 10 or longer. There were 6 TFLs in the game. Again, it doesn't erase the damage that Tampa did on second and primarily third down. No turnovers in the game. Tressaway was solid. Those are the things I liked. Let's start with the things that I did not like. So we start with defense. You know, as I mentioned, anytime you give up 7 scores on 8 possessions in a football game, you're pretty much done for. You know, these are college kind of numbers. You know, that's a Big 12 kind of a thing where somebody scores on 7 of 8 possessions. You know, they were essentially, if you count the penalties, they converted 11 of 15 on third down. And, you know, the 3 non-third downs, they were in field goal range and kicked field goals, and then they punted one time in the football game. You know, the yardage wasn't like the worst you've ever seen, but they didn't need it because they only had the ball 8 times. They had 392 yards and 37 points on 60 plays. Like, that's just not good. And here's the part of it that I emphasized early in the show, is that it's not like they got turnovers, which gave them super short fields, or there was a big punt return or a big kickoff return. This was the offense starting often with decent field position. You know, not every drive started inside their 15-yard line, but they just moved it methodically down the field, and they did whatever they wanted to do. Tampa's good. You know, they won a playoff game last year, and they nearly knocked off Detroit. That game was 17-17 in the fourth quarter. Baker Mayfield, off his best year, was outstanding. 24 of 30 for 289 yards, and he had one dropped. And one of the balls he missed early could have been a big play, too. Like, it could have been worse, you know, if not for some Tampa penalties and Baker missing a couple of throws early. Four touchdown passes in the game. His QBR was 86.1. His passer rating was 146.4. And as I mentioned, Godwin and Evans were targeted 14 times, had 13 catches for three touchdowns. They also ran the ball much more effectively. Washington started to wear down a little bit in the second half, but Bucky Irving, the rookie from Oregon, ran right into some run blitzes and ran right by him a couple of times in the second half. But really, it starts primarily with coverage. And coverage is, you know, tied to what happens up front and what happens on the back end. The obvious things are Emmanuel Forbes had another terrible day. I can't imagine that there's going to be any PFF number that comes out later that suggests that Emmanuel Forbes played well. It looked like he got pulled. He also had an x-ray after the game, Denton. I need an update on that. But, you know, it wasn't like Sanristil was much better. You know, especially when they were matched up against slot receivers, you know, Godwin in particular. There was confusion. It appeared, watching it on television, there was a lot of communication issues, confusion issues. You know, one of the things we heard during the offseason, during training camp, you know, when we got a lot of optimism, you know, about the progress they were making is just how good they communicate. You know, I hear them talking, they're talking. You know, defense, basketball, football is about talking. It's about communicating. And they seemed to be confused a lot of the times. I'm going to go through just the day that was defensive absolute misery. All right, drive one, deep shot, you know, to McMillan. He's open. Mayfield misses him. I mean, he's wide open. Cleveland Farrell, hands to the face. Then third and three, McMillan versus Sanristil. I think, again, some of these coverages, it looks like that's the guy that should have had him, but it looked like there was some confusion there. He's wide open. He dropped the ball. McMillan, the rookie from Washington, dropped it. Second drive, you know, you had 12 men on defense. You had a big play to Evans. It looked like Quan Martin may have been involved in that one. Their third drive, Mayfield to Godwin with Armstrong dropping into coverage. That doesn't seem like a good idea, but maybe it is. I don't know. We're just learning a little bit about what they're planning on doing and who the players are and what they can do. But I don't think we want Armstrong dropping into coverage against Godwin. You know, on that third drive, there was a second and 14. There was clear confusion. It looked like zone coverage, but they get a completion for a big play. And second and long, there is the second or third of what became a bit of a theme to the day as well, missed tackles. Wagner actually had a missed tackle or two. The touchdown pass to Evans, let me just say this. I thought St. Juice's coverage was kind of like, was it the first game that that the Jets threw a touchdown pass over St. Juice in preseason? Like, he's there. You know, the coverage is not terrible. I think he's got to turn. I think he's got to get his head around, his hands up. It's a perfect throw and a perfect catch, you know, to Evans. That was their first touchdown to make it 13-0. Tampa's fourth drive, there's a third and two quick game throw to Godwin. That's Forbes again. There's a third and three where they have to take a timeout defensively pre-snap. They look confused. Mayfield hit Godwin again against Forbes on a slant on third and three. There's a third. They finally take Forbes out of the game. I don't know if it was because of injury or because he was just getting torched at the end of the first half. But then, you know, the rookie, Sanristil, in his first game, he's a rookie. He struggled against Godwin. A lot of people are going to struggle against Godwin. But there's a third and six, you know, where you know, he throws to Godwin. Sanders still's covering him. Third and eight, there's a pressure where, you know, Mayfield escapes and, you know, Fowler missed him and he goes to Evans, which gets him into field goal range. I mean, that's the first half. I mean, you had the Forbes defensive pass interference face mask, two penalties on one play. Then he comes out and Sanders still's on Godwin, on the touchdown throw. You know, there was another, the fourth quarter touchdown to, hold on, let me just pull up the fourth quarter touchdown that made it to 30-14. That was the one to McMillan. There was confusion on coverage clearly there. They flooded what may have been zone. The more research on that, there just was coverage issues throughout the day and confusion in coverage all day long. You know, on that throwback screen to White where the replay came in and overturned the Graham Barton being downfield, I didn't know they could do that this year, but obviously they can. I think they got it right on that play. Then they started to run the ball. You know, they Bucky Irving, they ran right into some run blitzes early downs. The third and 17 bubble screen to Godwin in the second half late in the game. That's kind of embarrassing. Look, it was hot. It was humid. They were trying to rotate players. And after, you know, a long day of just being emasculated on play after play, they completely ran out of gas at the end. It was number one, you know, defense and specifically coverage. I actually didn't think at times the pass rush was that bad. But you know, it was kind of a theme the last couple of years. It's like, God, they're close, they're almost there, but they don't finish. You know, they had Mayfield a couple of times and didn't get him down. He got sacked once. I thought he could have been sacked three times total in the game. I thought he did an excellent job, though, of extending and either inside the pocket or out of it. I thought he played at an elite level, the quarterback did yesterday, Baker Mayfield. But again, a lot of it was the opponent and the opponent's confusion. And it just looked like the opponent was not, Washington was not ready for yesterday. Just a disastrous day. You know, there's a stat called passes defended. It's a traditional stat. And usually, you know, in a game where you play okay and even badly, you'll see four or five, you know, pass defenses during a game. Washington had one the entire day. One. It was St. Juice. That was it. That's not good. I mean, 30 pass attempts, one pass defense statistically on the day. It was a disaster on defense. It was a disaster in coverage. All right, we're up against a hard break. I'm going to finish the things that I didn't like list. We'll get to a few other observations and then your calls, I promise. Kevin Sheehan Show, the Team 980, the team980.com. We're free and live on the Odyssey app.
My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get a $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be. To be.
Recovery from addiction can take many forms, and quite often it's a team effort. For those in recovery, having support often leads to a better outcome. And for those supporting people in recovery, they celebrate every milestone. Here's to family, friends, loved ones, healthcare providers, and community groups who are essential to helping people find their path to recovery. If you or someone you know is experiencing addiction, visit cdc.gov/stopoverdose to learn more about the various treatment options available.
Oh, such a clutch off-season pickup, Dave.
I know, right? I was worried we'd bring back the same team.
Oh, no, I meant those blackout motorized shades. MVP of the room.
And a minimal salary cap hit. Blinds.com made it crazy affordable to replace our old blinds.
Hard to install?
No, it's easy. Even you could do it.
Nice.
I installed these and then got some for my mom, too.
You fly across the country to do the install?
Nope. Blinds.com can do it all. All she had to do was pick what she wanted. She talked to a design consultant for free and scheduled a professional measure and install.
Look at you, Hall of Fame son.
Oh, I just picked the winning team. They're the number one online retailer of custom window coverings in the world.
Oh, Blinds.com is the GOAT.
The GOAT.
Go to Blinds.com for up to 45% off and a 100% satisfaction guarantee. Go right now for up to 45% off at Blinds.com. Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions may apply.
From the mind of a two-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in-store or at mybobs.com to play now.
Trying to figure out what to eat for dinner yet again? With Knorr sides and bouillon as your not-so-secret ingredient, you can skip the drive-thru and do dinner at home. Knorr Taste Combos provide a menu of delicious, affordable, and well-balanced meals that you can prepare in 30 minutes or less. Visit Knorr.com to get quick and easy recipe ideas for your home-cooked weeknight dinners. It's not fast food, but it's so good.